Would like to talk about this word oracles today. I didn't really do a lot of research in this area, but I believe the word oracles comes from, or it's related to the word like to orate or an orator, someone that would speak. Many times we think of an orator as someone that maybe speaks a motivational speech. There's been a lot of people that have went down in history as being a motivational speaker over the years. And all you have to do is do a little research or searching, and you'll find a list that just seems to go on, and there's going to be people in that list that you're going to recognize, people that's from bygone days of being good speakers, or people that had speeches that really moved people and changed maybe the course of society. Across some of them changed the course of society for not for the good. Some of them move people to do things that today we look on as criminal. Adolf Hitler was one of those people. He was apparently a good speaker, and he motivated people to do some things that today we consider criminal. And we look at someone like Abraham Lincoln, and the speaking ability that he had and the speeches that he had were inspirational. They were motivational. He went down in history as being a good leader, I believe. You want to hear somebody talk to you motivationally about how to manage your money, I'm sure there's a name that comes to your mind today. You might think of Dave Ramsey or something like that. But there's all kinds of people that Martin Luther King is a man that gifted, talented. He had some real motivational speeches that impacted humanity. And when you come to church and you listen to the preacher, there are times you think, my, they were really... they really are gifted in speaking and all of that. And more than that, it's important that when we come to service, that this the word that's spoken, not just the word that's read from the scripture, but the word that's spoken would be something that wouldn't just be a speech per se. We want the words to be chosen in a manner that it would be edifying and beneficial and not combative. And there are things that have to be confronted from time to time, but things would be spoken in a way that we can get a hold of it and it would be understandable. But most of all, when we come to service, we want the Lord's anointing to be on what's said. We want it to be able to speak to our hearts and cause us to recognize that we're going to be held responsible to God for the things that we have heard. So the word oracles, a definition I found, is among Christians, oracles in plural denotes the communications, revelations, or messages delivered by God to prophets. In this sense, it is rarely used in the singular, but we say the oracles of God, divine oracles, meaning the scriptures. Another definition is a wise sentence or decision of great authority. That'd be more, you might say, in a singular sense, but I'm reminded of a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, it's the first verse. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. There are those that can maybe deliver a good speech, but if it's just a speech, it didn't do much good. You know, there's people that have given speeches because it was written well, and because they practiced it, and because they learned how to do the right inflection and maybe pause at the right minute, or right moment of time during the speech to emphasize some point that can have a certain level of impact. And the person giving the speech maybe cares less about the subject. Maybe he's an opposer to the subject he presented. It actually happens out there. To me, it's kind of hard to fathom, but there are those that speak about things that they're just speaking about it. They're not, it's their heart's not in it. And so we're talking about here, he says in the scripture, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, if I have the most glib tongue there was, if I could speak like no other person, and I certainly don't feel like I'm in that realm by any means, but if I could speak like no other person, and I don't have charity, I don't have love, I don't have the things that's the essence of the scripture in my, what I'm saying, and in my heart, and in my life, then it's like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I don't know much about how a conductor operates in a band, and I'm just not a musician. But I know that they have things sometimes they call a gong in a production, whether it's a band or orchestra, and it's just a big slab of brass that somebody whacks on every once in a while. And there's a proper time to do it, but it just makes a ringing sound. That's all it does. And the cymbal is just a really small piece of steel that somebody whacks with another little piece of steel. And it just makes a little ding at the right time. And, you know, if I had a cymbal, if I was going to play an instrument, I'd like something I could play a melody on. I wouldn't want a gong or a cymbal. That's just me. I mean, if I'm going to play, I'm glad there's somebody there to whack the piece of brass, and I'm glad there's somebody there to ding on the cymbal. But, you know, if I'm going to play, I want something I can play lots of notes on and go up and down the scale and maybe harmonize. But so the point is, no matter how well I speak, if I don't have the goods on hands, if I don't really have it down in my heart and my life, then it's just like that fellow that's whacking the piece of brass. It's just one, there's only one note you can get out of that. You're hard pressed to get more than whatever frequency that thing vibrates at when you whack it. All right? So I'd like to move on now. And realizing that point is that just a good speaker is not what it's all about. And I'd like to move to Romans, the third chapter. We know that Romans was written, I believe, by the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. He says, verse 1, chapter 3, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? What profit is there of following the structure, the guidelines? What is there any benefit of having the genetics of being a Jew? He says, much, he says, this is an answer, much every way, chiefly or most importantly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The oracles. The wise sentences, the scriptures, the prophecies, the Old Testament. Did you know the New Testament was really given for the Jews too? Not very many of them accepted it proportionally, but it was given to the Jews. It says, for what if some did not believe? Shall they make the faith of God without effect. You know, it's important for us that know truth to apply it to our life. It's important for us to be able to communicate that to someone else. Now, let's make some assumptions. These are false assumptions, okay? I want to clarify that. But let's assume that I was a good speaker. And then let's assume that somebody wanted to do a seminar on making cinnamon rolls. And they said, well, you're a good speaker. Why don't you give us a speech on how to do cinnamon rolls? Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much I listen to somebody and studied whatever somebody else would have to write it, because I couldn't write the speech. Someone else would have to give me the words to say, and then they'd probably have to tell me what the important points was. But I'm not a cinnamon roll maker. You know, I might be able to fry an egg if you don't rush me too much. I mean, if you just kind of let me, I might be able to do that. But I'm not a cook. And I don't feel like that I'm a talented speaker. But I know this much. I know that someone that knew how to make cinnamon rolls could probably portray some enthusiasm about it to where all of us would have an appetite for them before they got done. So he says here, what advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? What profit is there about coming to service and being consistent and living a life that portrays the gospel in your everyday life? That's what he's talking about when he says, what profit is there of circumcision? It's following the instructions. It's following the law. That's what he's talking about. So what about it if we're living in a manner that portrays the truth that's in the scripture? What advantage is there? There is something about it. It's important, he says, much, every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Well, you know, we have a responsibility, because we've been exposed to truth, to be able to communicate truth. That's what oracles is all about communicating truth and communicating what the scripture is all about. He says, for what if some did not believe? You know, there's people that have been exposed to truth, and there were Jews that knew the law, that knew, that were eyewitnesses to Jesus' miracles, and yet they chose rather to follow the path of the pagan games. The ancient Olympics were a big thing back in Jesus' day, and they chose to go that way. And there's enough historical things we could read about and there's things made reference to in the New Testament that's referring to the Jews following they had lifted the Olympics up, that because that was the philosophy of the Greeks and all that they were living in amongst in the Roman Empire. They were all part of that. And there were people that followed that rather than following what the law said and what Jesus came. There were people, it's hard for me to grasp. How could somebody be in the crowd and see a few loaves and fishes feed a group of 5,000 and go from that and go back to the gym and being prepared for the Olympics? But they did. You know, we have a responsibility to get a hold of something and be able to communicate that something to the world around us. So I'd like to move on a little bit. I want you to know, as we continue, that I feel very responsible, and I certainly always want your prayers when I'm standing here, that I'll be more than just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I want the Lord's anointing to be on our services and be on what we say. I'd like to turn It's 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Notice a verse over here. 1 Peter, chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 11. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. You remember what we read earlier about somebody possibly being able to speak with the tongues of men and of angels, talented speakers? What is Paul saying here, or Peter saying here? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Speak truth that God would speak. He says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's our focus when we're in service. We want to be able to speak with the ability that God gives. Not because, I don't think it's wrong to reflect on how you approach a subject. And it's not wrong on how to think about, did I say that right or did I say that all wrong? Did I confuse everybody? Did they understand what I said or not? You know, we could stand up here and just start quoting scriptures and rattling off chapters and verses and all of that, but if we can't make it fit together, maybe we ought to think about how did we approach that just a little bit. So somewhere's about now, you're probably thinking, well, this sounds like something you ought to be talking to preachers about. But stick with me, okay? It says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. We want Christ to be portrayed in a manner that it brings glory to God, not division. We want to be able to portray what we say as something that's congruent, that's synonymous, that's on the same page as the scripture, not something that's contradictory and in conflict with the scripture. Turn with us now to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is a place that there was a lot of things happened there that were got the attention of a lot of people. We know that when Jesus left, he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. And we've talked about that some not so long ago and how that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and the power and authority that came with that. And I'd like to read something specifically that happened there in Acts chapter 2. We know in Acts chapter 1 is where they were all assembled together in one accord in the upper room. There being about 120 of them, and the Holy Spirit came down and made its appearance to mankind at that time. They were praying and in one accord. And we find here in Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin reading verse 4 and read a few verses. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So if you've been impacted by someone that has been speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know that you may go away and scratch your head and say, well, you know, they were just somebody that worked with their hands. I've never been impacted by something quite like that. And it's because the Holy Spirit was involved, not because they were a talented speaker or because they had been studying and analyzing how they approached all the subjects and all of that, but there was something else that was involved there. And he said, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And it goes on to there, they made an accusation, and then Peter got up and he preached them a message. And consequently, there was like 3,000 that got saved that day. And who was Peter? What was his background? He was a fisherman. Where was he from? The Sea of, what's that?
Galilee.
Sea of Galilee. He says, aren't these Galileans? So, if you take a Galilean, somebody, Galilean was a region, not just a fisherman, okay? But if you took those from, those folks from the country, whatever you wanted to say, they weren't in reputation of being able to speak eloquently in their own language, much less be able to speak in a language that wasn't their native tongue. And yet these people were being able to hear, it said, in their own language. There was something happening here, and this was a special case. The Lord, seeing that it was fit, I believe it was nothing, it was not the unintelligible speaking. It was discernible words, and people were hearing people, these men speak in their own language, and they were not only being able to understand what was being said, but they were being impacted by it. We've all had the experience in our age that we live in to call for customer service and get someone that English is not their native, American English anyway, is not their native language. And they're trying really hard. And I've made comments to them. I'm sorry, I just cannot understand your English. And I've had people tell me that their English was good. And I'd say, well, somehow we're missing that because I can't understand you. And it was hard for me to follow what they was telling me, even though they thought they were speaking good English. Now, this wasn't the case here. There was people that was hearing, and it wasn't just like, oh, well, they can speak my dialect. They were being impacted and moved by the words that was being said. Now, if I use a phrase like, y'all listen here, you know what that means. But if I went to Europe and said that, people's going to look at me with a blank look. There's people over there that understand English, but they don't understand that phrase. So these people were not only being able to speak the words and enunciate the letters and the words like they were trying to say, but they were being effectual in that. And it said here, behold, are not these which speak Galileans. This was what was probably the most amazing. This was someone, the last person that they would expect to be able to speak to them effectually in their language was a Galilean. Those are country bumpkins or whatever. They're not somebody that I would expect to be able to speak in my language and be able to communicate thoughts and ideas. And I know we come here to service, and all of us here probably would be willing to readily raise our hand and say, well, I'm not a good speaker. Everybody knows that. I'd be one of those too. You know, I've had people say things and about my voice. And it wasn't, I don't think I've had anyone ever come to me and say, you know, you've got a really strong voice. That's something nobody's ever said to me. And it's probably a good reason that we have some kind of means to amplify it here, or not everybody would be able to hear. I've had other things said to me that wasn't quite so nice. These were Galileans. These were people that weren't expected to have something very effectually to be said. But it said, they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't know if it says that right there or not. But let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Back up a book in the Bible to Luke, the 12th chapter. I would like to look at verse 8. I believe we're going to read something here that Jesus said. I'll get in Luke instead of John. I'd do better. Luke chapter 12 and beginning in verse 8, it says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. It sounds like some speaking involved, doesn't it? But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, and take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Now, we've kind of been speaking up to this point about those that might be speaking from a more of a leader type position or some place of recognized, they're the ones that's going to speak to us today or whatever. But now Jesus is telling them in verse 8, he said, whosoever should confess me before men shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He's talking about us as individuals being willing to speak for the Lord. All right? That's more than just somebody that speaks at church. All right? It's more than the preacher. It's more than the evangelist. It's more than the motivational speaker or whatever it might be. It says here in verse 11, and they shall bring you into synagogues and into magistrates and powers. Take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what you shall say. There's going to be a time that every one of us is called on the carpet, so to speak. Every one of us is going to have a time that we need to be able to have something. We're going to have to say something. The right to remain silent. At some point, we're going to have to break that silence, and we're going to have to say something. And he says in verse 12, for the verse 11, he said, I'm sorry. Yes, verse 11, he says, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Now, we've said some things thus far about, you know, paying attention to how we approach things and, you know, maybe thinking about how to approach it a little better. There's no necessarily fault in that, but don't begin to trust on that. Don't begin to think, well, I've got it all figured out and I can talk to you about cinnamon rolls and I don't know nothing about cinnamon rolls. And that's a true statement, other than I like to eat them. here he says, don't take any thought about what you're going to say or what you're going to answer. It says in verse 12, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. At the time that you need something to say, this is Jesus' words, he says the Holy Ghost will teach you what you ought to say. Now, I believe Jesus was given instruction on how to prepare. And his instruction on how to prepare was not necessarily don't prepare. Okay, stay with me. Jesus was not saying, just speak whatever pops into your head. Anybody ever got in trouble with that? It's pretty easy if somebody comes to you and says in a heated tone of voice, why do you park your car over there? You can respond just as adamantly, are you parked in my spot? I mean, that could be something that would pop into the top of your head, wouldn't it? And Jesus is not saying, and his counsel is not just say whatever pops into your head first. That's not, because we all can get in trouble that way, right? We've all said things because that's what popped into our head. You know, somebody says, I don't like you. And you say, well, I don't like you either. Well, that's probably not the right thing to say at that time. And I don't believe the Holy Ghost would inspire us to respond that way to somebody that says, I don't like you. I believe the Holy Ghost would have us say something different than that. But Jesus said, you're going to be called on the carpet. You're going to be asked to give an answer. You're going to be in a situation where you need an answer. But his counsel was, don't be overcharged with preparing for every possible situation. Don't be overcharged with that. The Holy Ghost will teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. So if he's not saying, just tell him whatever comes to your head first. And if he's not saying, now you need to get all of the answers to all of the questions that could possibly ever be asked for you before you ever get to that. He's not saying that either. What is he saying? That's important. And that's where the oracles come in. You remember he said that the oracles were committed, the Jews ought to have been responsible for that. The Jews of all people should have been in a place where they could have took the gospel that Jesus brought and took the New Testament and run with it. They should have been, but very few did. By and large, Christianity has been less left to those of us as Gentiles. By and large. The largest percentage of people that would profess Christianity in our world today are not Jews. The largest percentage. So if Jesus is not saying just whatever pops in your head, what is he saying? Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Back up a few pages to Luke chapter 6 and notice what Jesus says here in verse 45. And this is where it starts becoming down to where we live. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Of the abundance of the heart. Abundance. What does that mean? It means you got more than you know what to do with. You got more stuff than you got cabinets for. You got more you got more clothes than will fit in your closet. You got more food on the plate than you can eat. You got more money than you could spend. There's a few people like that. He says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what you're full of is what's going to come out of your mouth. If you're full of hatred and envy and malice and jealousy and all that stuff, and you're full of self-centeredness, and you're full of woe is me, and oh my, everybody's against me, and all of that kind of stuff. When somebody says something negative to you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to attack them. It's going to be the thing that comes to the top of your head first, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And later you're going to say, why did I say that? The reason we said it is because that's coming out of the abundance. That's what my heart's full of. That's what I'm full of down inside. And Lord help us, He said here, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. You know, if you're thinking about other things, if you're thinking about profitable things, if you're thinking about, if you're meditating on the Scripture, if you're meditating on the goodness of the Lord and the blessings it is to be alive and to be able to have health and strength, and you're thinking about the good things you see in other people, when somebody comes along and says something really negative to you, you're the thing that the Lord has to work with. You know, the Holy Ghost can only work with whatever you give Him to work with. Many years ago now, I say many, it's been several years ago. Y'all remember Brother Alex that came and stayed about a month at my house? Well, he didn't know English hardly at all when he got here, except maybe to say hello or stuff like that. But he got here and we tried really hard to have in-depth conversations, and I don't know that we were very successful, but he was shopping for a vehicle for Brother Ludwig to drive when he came over for to spend some time. He stayed with Sister Maxine, Brother Lauren, and had a semester of college, and he found this vehicle, and it needed a water pump, and I helped him determine what it was, and I went to work, and Brother Alex, he's going to put that water pump on. So we talked about it. He was talking in Russian and trying to speak German and to me. And then somehow we looked up lots of pictures and put on a lot of pointing and gesturing. And I showed him my tools and all of this kind of stuff. And I come home one day and he was using one of my tools in a way that I never thought about using. And it wasn't bad. It was a good way. And he was improvising, and he improvised because there was something in his head. He was thinking about how to solve a problem, and he was using that. You know, the Lord can't use the Holy Spirit on an empty head. That's just plain as I know how to say it. You want the Holy Spirit to be able to use your words to be a benefit to His cause, you're going to have to put something in your heart. You're going to have to put something in your head. You're going to have to give Him something to work with. I gave Brother Alex a few things to work with, but it's not the same set of tools I work with on my job. But he had used the tools enough that he was improvising and being able to use a tool that I never thought about using it like that. And I tried to tell him that I approved of that, and I think he thought I was getting on to him because of the language barrier. Okay? But here we go down this road, and it says here, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, what's going to come out of that? It's going to be evil stuff. And it says here, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And remember what, this is Jesus' words too. But you remember what he said? You're going to be called on the carpet. You're going to be called in the synagogues and before magistrates. And your neighbor's going to say, well, why do you do that? And if you don't have something good in there, you're going to say, because I want to. It's what come to your mind. We need to give him something better than that. And what's in our heart? What have we got in there that the Holy Spirit can even put His hand on and use it? When we speak from the abundance of our heart, the thing we got to really worry about then is what's in our heart. What have we put in there? What's our heart full of? What's we got a surplus of? If we've got a if we're just oozing out, well, they didn't treat me right. Well, everybody's against me. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And if we're just, if that's what's oozing out of us all the time, and something testing comes along, what do you think is going to come out? Some of that. You think, bless your heart. I'm sorry that you looked at it like that. You think that's going to come out, and you've been biting your lip all day to try to keep from saying something bad to your family member? No. What you've been biting your lip over is going to come spewing out. So we need to focus on putting good things into the inner man, so we'll have something wholesome to speak, something profitable, something that's good for God's cause. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. You probably know a verse I'm going to read over there. I'm thinking now about when we come to service. All of us come to service, not just me, but all of us. And think about the things that we say or have an opportunity to say. You know, we give opportunity for testimonies. We give opportunity for if somebody has been preparing in for a Bible study or exhortation, we'll give you opportunity for that. I will be real plain. When I say things like, anyone have anything to share? That's the cue. Anyone have a testimony tonight? That's your sign. You've heard those kind of expressions out in the world. That's your cue. That's your sign. When I say that, or whoever else might be kind of leading the service, anyone got something to share? That's your cue. That's when it's time for the abundance of the heart to begin to speak. I'd like to look 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance. That's what I'm doing here this morning, putting you in remembrance of something. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. You know, there's a lot of words to no profit. Some of those things that are no profit are the conspiracy theories that's out there. I don't know. Maybe there is some conspiracies going on, but they're going to have to catch me is all I got to say. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 15 says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. You know what that means? That means to read it. That means to look at the pictures. That means try to get the image in your head. Have you ever read something and thought you understood what it said and then went out and tried to do it and it didn't work out that way? Maybe I'm the only one, but I've had that happen. I read the instructions and then I went to try to do it and it's like, boy, I don't know. It's just not, it's somehow, but once you get the picture in your mind of what you're supposed to be doing, you know, things go a lot smoother. What do you think it means to study the word? Study to shew thyself approved unto God. What do you think that means? Read the scripture. Think about it. Get the picture in your mind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you get that picture in your mind, and somebody comes along and tries to tell you that there's only a few people that's really predestined to go to heaven, and they don't fit the picture, because the picture in my mind is Jesus said, whosoever. How many people are excluded in whosoever? Best I can tell, nobody. Whosoever. You can come. You can be saved. That's the picture. That's what's the image that's in the scripture. That's what, I mean, it's as clear as a bell, so to speak, in my mind. And if somebody wants to try to tell me something different, immediately it's like, no, that's not the way I see that. That's not what the scripture tells me. There's religious people that believe that. Notice what it says. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's applied it and thought about it and allowed it to be in abundance in his heart. And when you're called before the magistrates and in the synagogues or wherever that situation is that you feel like your back is up against the wall, guess who's got something to work with? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And out of the abundance of your heart, there's going to be something that comes that's going to be bringing glory and honor and praise to who? To God. It's not going to be a self-defense mechanism where you're kicking and scratching. It says in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto more ungodliness. You know what happens when you just say whatever pops in the top of your head and you don't have the abundance of God in your heart? Pretty soon you find yourself treading water, paddling out, trying to say other things that somehow just seems to add fuel to the fire instead of putting anything out. Lord, help us. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, there's a lot of false doctrine in the world, and there's a lot of things that will confuse other people. And that's why it's so important for us to study, to shew ourselves approved, and have something that the Holy Spirit can work with. Nevertheless, he says in verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let us all that have the profession of being a Christian, let us depart from iniquity. Let us study to shew ourselves approved. Let's equip our hearts with an abundance of things in there that the Lord can tap into, that he can pull from that little hook back there on the back side of your head and be able to share it with somebody. Studying, I wrote down, includes reading. It includes becoming familiar, but it also puts us in a position for God to speak to us through the Spirit and through the Scriptures. You know what happens when you take time to read your Bible? You put yourself in a... I'm not saying you need to read so many verses or chapters or pages or whatever. If you just take some time to read the Scripture, read a verse or two, you know what happens? As you go about your life and your day, the Lord can use that and subconsciously speak to you and cause you to think, I wonder what he was really saying there. I wonder if that applies to me. I wonder if that applies to some situation in my life. That's all part of studying. Many times, the examples and the passages of the Bible can register with something in our personal life. Maybe you read about David and Saul and Peter and James and John and fishing all night. You ever worked all night on something? There's going to be something there that's going to start resonating with you. When you begin to study in the Scripture, there's going to things that's going to start becoming more real and more alive to you. You know, I want us to be encouraged to put things in our heart so we have an abundance of something. And when there's an opportunity, you'll have the courage to be able to speak up for the Lord and be able to give a good answer. I don't like to just speak when my back's against the wall. I like to be able to drop a hint now and then. I like to be able to give an inclination of where the abundance of my heart is and not be distracting from the work of the Lord. You know, there's many golden opportunities. This is what I'm trying to put these things in your remembrance. There's many opportunities in our services for you to share something that's been a blessing to you, that's been an encouragement to you, that's something that's been meaningful to you. Don't worry so much about speaking to the magistrates. And I believe the Holy Spirit can give us the right answer at the time. And there's going to be times that we do the best we can and we come away and think, I wonder if I said the right thing. I wonder if I did the right thing. We're all going to well, that's human. That's, at least it's human for me. I'm going to come away and say, did I say the right thing? There's many times I go home from service and I wonder, did I say the right thing? Did I say the right words? Was I able to get the point across? I want us to study. Put the Lord down in your heart. Put the Scriptures in your mind. Ask the Lord to give you the reality of what the Scripture's about and what it means to live for God, so that when you're in the difficult place and when there's an opportunity given, you'll be able to speak a word for Him. And it won't be just some rash thing that pops in your head and you go away saying, boy, that was the wrong thing to say. We don't want to do that. We're all going to make some mistakes. We're all going to say some words that we probably shouldn't have said. And I believe the Lord has mercy on us. But let's ask the Lord to help us to be full with an abundance in our heart of something that we can speak to those around us, that'll draw their hearts and minds in towards the Lord. We live in a hurting world. We live in a world that needs to know that there's a God that loves them. We live in a world where there's others that needs to know whosoever will can freely come to God, that there is an opportunity where we can have a relationship with a heavenly Father that really loves you, that really has your best interest in mind. May the Lord help us to study, to show ourselves approved, and be the oracles of God that we ought to be. You pray for me.